Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor of Blaze Church. Welcome to our podcast. I know today's message is going to inspire you, encourage you, and lead you to know God more. If you want to connect with us, visit us online at blazechurch.org. Enjoy today's message.
How amazing was that video? In fact, I want you to comment radical generosity because I want to get that in your hearts that we are a church that gives with our finances, our time, and we are here to serve the community. So I'm so excited that we're able to do this next Thursday as well. If you don't know me, my name is Joe. I'm one of the leaders here at Blaze Church, and I'm really excited because we are in our series called Anxious for Nothing. And we're in part three, and we're exploring how does God come into the mix of this? What does God's word have to say about this anxiety and fear that can grip our hearts? So let's dive right in. I have a question for you this morning. Where do you find your peace? Where do you find your zen, your tranquility? I often find that people think that their peace is tied to a place. Maybe your peace is a private room in your house. Maybe your peace is going on a hike, going on a jog. I know for me, I can sometimes find peace when I'm in the mountains of Pennsylvania, no cell service, just nature. And it can be peaceful. But peace is not always tied to a place. And maybe you can relate because right now, some of you might have these racing thoughts. You can't turn your mind off. This anxiety and this fear has now overtaken, and you don't have your usual place. Maybe your place was the office. Maybe it was the drive to the office. Maybe your peace was in this church building, and we can't gather together anymore. It's been stripped away. And with this COVID-19 climate, we're asking questions when we wake up in the morning of, do I have a job tomorrow? Are my family and friends going to be safe? So you might be saying, peace? What is that? How can I find peace? The house is a mess. The kids are here always. They're screaming. What is peace? But Philippians 4, 4 through 7 speaks volume about what God has to say about peace. So if you've been following along, we've been reading Philippians 4, 4 through 7, and we've been memorizing a verse each week. So we memorized verse 4 and verse 5. So if you are at home, recite this with me. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And in verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If you haven't yet, I want to invite you to text Phil 4 to 97,000. We're sending text messages every week to encourage you to keep this Bible verse in your heart and to encourage you to memorize it so that when you are looking for peace, you can recite God's word. And I want to focus on verse 7, because another version states it, then you will experience God's peace that will exceed anything we can understand, a peace that makes no sense. So the question I want to answer this morning is, how do we find this peace? How do we receive this peace that passes all understanding? And I think another question is that some of you might be asking, is this peace even possible? Come on, is this peace even possible that I can have peace that exceeds anything that I can comprehend? Well, I'm standing here this morning to let you know that it is possible because I've experienced this peace. About 7 months ago, I was at a place where I may have lost my job. This was due to circumstances out of my control, and a lot of my coworkers who had their identity in their job, they were struck with fear, with anxiety, with worry. And then I felt this odd sense of peace. When people asked about my situation, I said, I feel calm. Why is that? Because my coworkers had their identity in their job, but I had my identity in Jesus. I stayed faithful. I kept praying, staying in God's word, and I received this peace that made no sense. And I believe you can receive this peace this morning. I believe you can. And we're going to look at the story of Daniel because it ties so well into this. But before we look in the story of Daniel, I want to read verse 6 one more time. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Two words I want you to keep in mind this morning: prayer and thanksgiving. In fact, I want you to comment that right now: prayer and thanksgiving. So I want to set the stage for you, because the story of Daniel is a pretty amazing story. So Daniel was part of the Jewish people, God's chosen people, and God's chosen people was exiled out of Israel. They were disobedient to God, they were worshiping false gods, and they were exiled. And Daniel was amongst these exiled Jewish people, and they were exiled to a land called Babylon. And Babylon was ruled by a king, and his name was King Darius. Now Daniel, he remained faithful to God. He stood his ground. He prayed to God. He trusted God. He didn't eat the unclean foods of Babylon. And God showed him favor. In fact, Daniel became a high officer in King Darius's ranks, and he was responsible for a big part of the kingdom. So much so that Daniel was about to give even more responsibility. But the other officers, they were jealous. They didn't like that Daniel, this Jew, was getting so much favor in the kingdom of Babylon. So what they did is they tried to plot a way to kill Daniel. They went to the king. They said, why don't you put a law in place that for the next 30 days, no one can pray to anyone except you, the king, and the penalty, if they do not listen, is death by the lion's den. So King Darius saw this as a political opportunity to kind of show who's boss in the kingdom, remind people who runs the show. So he did put it in place. And that's kind of where we are going to begin in the text. So are you with me? Let's go. We're in Daniel 6, 9 through 11. So King Darius signed the law, but when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open towards Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he always done, giving thanks to his God. Then the officials went together to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking for God's help. I want to pause here, because Daniel just found out that if he doesn't stop praying to the true and living God, that he is going to be facing death in the lion's den. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you think Daniel may have been anxious, may have been scared? I mean, the text doesn't say it explicitly, but my opinion is that there's a good chance that Daniel, when he found out about this, he was a little terrified. I know I would be. But some of you right now are facing your own lion's den. And it looks a lot different than Daniel. You're watching filled with this anxiety from COVID-19 or something completely different. And the situation is gripping you with fear. It is paralyzing you to the point where you can't do anything else. Anxiety by itself is crippling. It brings constant worry, and you can tend to freeze up. But when you use anxiety as an alert, you work towards overcoming it. What do I mean? Anxiety is a signal alerting you that it's time to pray. It is a signal alerting you that it's time to pray. Just like in your car with the check engine light, that is a signal alerting you to bring your car into the shop. Anxiety is that same signal. Let me put it another way. If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. Worried about where your next meal is coming from? Pray. Worried about the health of your family and friends? Pray. Worried about a big life decision that you need to make? Pray. I love this scripture in Ephesians. Ephesians 6:18, it says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. In other words, never stop praying. And don't take my word for it. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, never stop praying. Put that in the comments this morning. I want you to remind yourself, I want you to encourage others, never stop praying. And that's what Daniel did. He said, I am going to pray, because when you receive anxiety, when that onset happens, use it as an alert to start praying. So Daniel finds out about this law, and if you were in this situation, this could really put you in a tailspin. This could put you in a place of darkness, depression. So what does he do? We read, he prays. He immediately goes home, he goes on his knees, and he prays. But I love what he does when he first starts praying. He thanks God. He is in a position of prayer, and he thanks God. Daniel 6:10, he prayed 3 times a day, just as he always done, giving thanks to his God. There's nothing wrong with asking God for something in your prayer, but I often ask myself, when did I just pray and thank God? When did I just thank God for the breath in my lungs, the roof over my head, the clothes on my back, the ability to watch this sermon online? The psalmist of Psalm 42, much like Daniel, chose to thank God in time of despair. Psalm 42:5 says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Never stop praying. Use anxiety as an alert. If God's been so good to you this morning, I just want you to encourage others. Put in the comment section, God, you're so good. God, thank you for everything in my life, Lord. Thank you for giving me breath, Lord. After Daniel is in a position of prayer, and he thanks God, he then asks for the Lord's help. Daniel 6:11, then the officials went together to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking for God's help. This is an incredible reminder that we need God's help always. We need his strength always. God, I stumbled. Show me a way out. God, I'm scared. Comfort me. God, I'm feeling lonely. I need your love. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Daniel had 2 options. He could have let fear and anxiety take control. He could have gone into a tailspin not knowing what to do, or he could use it to point to God. Daniel found peace in a position of prayer and a relationship with God. So what happened? These officials, they found him praying to God. They told King Darius. And King Darius said, throw him in the lion's den. Daniel was going to be a martyr for God. Daniel trusted God in everything in his life and said, God, I put my life in your hands, Lord. Your plan is greater than mine. I trust you. Daniel's faith in God signified his trust. And Daniel's faithfulness was met with a salvation. Daniel 6:19-23. Very early the next morning, the king got up and hurried out to the lion's den. When he got there, he called out in anguish, Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, whom you serve so faithfully, able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, long live the king. My God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth so that they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty. In other words, God made him the first lion king. He was the original lion king. Verse 23, the king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trusted in his God. I want to highlight those last words for you. For he had trusted in his God. When you trust wholeheartedly into something, when you surrender everything into God's hands and give up control, you are full surrendering and trusting God. Psalm 56:3 says it, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. When you surrender yourself to God in your prayer, your finances, your decisions, your relationships, how you raise your children, everything, when you give full surrender, God will give you the peace that makes no sense. And surrendering isn't easy. I know, but as you develop your relationship with God in a position of prayer, being in his word, reading his scripture, you are shown a God who has never left you or forsaken you. You are shown a God who is faithful yesterday, today, and forever. If you believe that this morning, encourage others with a comment. God is faithful because he is. But some of you right now may be thinking, I've never prayed before. How do I pray? Every time I've prayed, it's felt weird. I felt like I had to be in a certain position. I felt like I had to say certain things in a certain way. Or some of you might be saying, pray? I'm in need of prayer. I'm going through struggles. Easy way to get started this morning. blazechurch.org/prayer. If our chat host can comment that this morning, blazechurch.org/prayer. Visit this site after today's service because we have resources for you on how to start praying. And we have a way for you to fill out a prayer request so that our leaders can be praying for you. Our leaders can never stop praying for you. But I want to give you something even more practical that we can talk about right now this morning. A simple way to start praying. And it's an acronym for the word pray. It's praise, repent, ask, you. So what does that mean? Let's start with the letter P. Praise. Start your prayers by praising God, thanking him for who he is and what he's done for you in your life. He is a good God. Praise. Repent. Letter R. This may sound like a scary word to some of you, but repent, all that means is, God, I'm going to turn away from my sin, and I'm going to turn to you. I'm going to make that 180-degree turn and focus my eyes on you. The letter A, ask. Just like Philippians 4 says, present your requests to God. Ask for his help. Ask for his guidance. Ask for his Holy Spirit to be upon you. And then the letter Y, you. What is that? It's be yourself in prayer. There's no right way to pray. Talk to God like if you were talking to a family member or a friend. Keep it simple. Talk how comfortable you are talking. But you know what I really love about Daniel's story? It points us to Jesus. It points us to our Savior. Daniel was persecuted. He was faithful to God and was saved by God. But Jesus, who is our true and better Daniel this morning, Jesus, he came from heaven down to this earth, lived a sinless, blameless life, was persecuted, and died a gruesome death on the cross for our sins. He is the Savior of our world. Jesus said, I surrender to the Father. I surrender to you, God. Jesus was faithful to the end. He took our sins that we can have God's presence with us always. I mentioned that some people find that peace is tied to a place. But I think we all know that's not the case. pieces tie it to a person, and that person's name is Jesus. Isaiah 9:6, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Daniel found peace in a position of prayer and a relationship with God. We find peace in a position of prayer and a relationship with Jesus. Jesus entered the lion's den. He beat the grave. He took our sins. And he saved us. And I thank Jesus right now, because in this COVID climate, I have the peace that passes all understanding. I am comforted to know that God is in control, that Jesus is the key to our peace, and that we can have a relationship through prayer and reading God's word. Peace isn't of this world. I want to really drive that home. This peace that we read in Philippians is not of this world. You cannot find this peace on your iPhone. You cannot find this peace by going to a certain place. You can only find this peace by a relationship with Jesus. And this, what's amazing about this is that this peace the world can't take away. This peace comes from the true and living God. So this morning, I invite you to be anxious for nothing. I invite you to never stop praying, to use an anxiety as an alert. Use this anxiousness to bring you closer to God. If you're ready to let this anxiousness become a tool for you to pray and for you to receive peace, I'd love to pray for you this morning. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your peace, Lord. We are so grateful that we can never stop praying, that we can be in your presence always because of the sacrifice that your son Jesus made, Lord. I pray for everyone watching this right now that they are going to take their anxiety and they're going to use it as an alert to pray. They are going to never stop praying because you are worthy, Lord. You are a great God. You are a mighty, wonderful counselor, Lord. You are the Prince of Peace. I pray for everyone watching right now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Some of you right now don't have a relationship with God, don't know who Jesus is, don't know that he is your Savior. But I want to give you an opportunity to let Jesus come into your heart this morning. He is our Prince of Peace. His sacrifice for our sins was the greatest sacrifice and allows us to tap into God's presence wherever we are. It doesn't come out of place. It comes with a relationship with Jesus. This morning, wherever you are, if you want to accept Jesus into your heart, I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. I want those here in this space to say this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner who needs saving. I believe that Jesus died and rose again so that I could be forgiven. Thank you for new life. Today, I give you mine. Amen. If you just made a decision to accept Jesus into your heart, we want to celebrate with you. Head over to blazechurch.org/decision. Fill out a quick form, and we're going to connect with you. We're going to be on this journey with you, with your relationship with Jesus.